Short story number 21, The Wedding, by Larry Vardaman. There are a lot of weddings of our friends in the mid-1960s. Jeanette took me to the weddings of several of her friends, and we went to the weddings of both of my roommates. My favorite wedding, however, was her cousin's, whose bride selected frilly southern hooped dresses for her six bridesmaids. When they lined up at the front of the church in their multicolored gowns, they stood 4 feet apart, with each of the hems of their dresses touching. When one of the dresses moved, they all moved. The six dresses swung back and forth like bells. Another interesting wedding was that of my friend Jerry Goldstein, who invited Jeanette and me to his traditional Jewish wedding at a hotel in downtown St. Louis. After the formal wedding, under a canopy, the bride and groom were hoisted aloft in chairs and danced around the room to the traditional Jewish song Have Nagila. They also performed a ceremony by placing wine glasses in a bag and tying them to the bride and groom's ankles. Each of them attempted to be the first to step on the glass as they circled around each other, defending their own glass from being crushed. I was told it's a custom that the one who breaks the other's glass becomes the boss of the family. However, I don't think that could be true, because we all know the groom's Jewish mother is always the boss. After they broke the glass, the guests shouted, "Mazel Tov," which means congratulations. At contemporary weddings, a light bulb is sometimes substituted because it's thinner and more easily broken and makes a louder popping sound. The true origin of this custom is unknown, although many reasons have been given. The primary reason is thought to be that joy must always be tempered with the minor key of Jewish history. One ancient explanation is that despite the joy of a wedding, Jews still mourn the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Compared to most of our friends' weddings, ours was rather simple. Fairmont Baptist Church, where Jeanette attended, was too small for the crowd she expected, and she didn't want to hold the wedding reception in the local American Legion Hall. So she arranged for our wedding to occur in her aunt's church nearby. It had a nice wooden interior and space in the basement for the reception. It was very large and dwarfed the few flowers Jeanette had purchased, but it nicely accommodated the crowd who attended and permitted the traditional celebrations of throwing the garter, cutting the cake, and taking pictures. However, one small glitch in the reception will always make our wedding memorable. Jeanette had ordered a 5-gallon container of orange drink to serve the guests along with the ice cream, cake, and nuts. She had instructed the kitchen volunteers to dilute the concentrate before serving it. However, during the reception, we noticed an occasional puckered expression on guests' faces and small half-filled cups of orange fluid sitting around on windowsills, countertops, and the piano. We remained at the reception until almost everyone else had departed, because Jeanette insisted that she needed to talk with every friend and relative who had come from long distances. She said she'd probably not see many of them again for a long time. However, I suspected she was delaying her departure to prolong leaving on her honeymoon as long as possible. After most of the guests had left, she finally took time to taste the punch. It was almost undrinkable in its concentrated form, extremely sweet and tart at the same time. The volunteers had neglected to dilute the concentrated drinks. Every wedding needs some memorable incident. This was ours.